Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to Jenkins Church. If everybody would come on in and have a seat, we'd appreciate it. I'd like to know if there are any general announcements that you would like to specify that are not in the bulletin. Miss Sherry?
No.
Oh, Sharon, I'm sorry. Okay, is there anything else? That general announcement? Yes, Brother Bennett.
Thank you.
any other general announcements? If not...
Well, One Great Hour Sharing. Do you happen to have an envelope that may tell you One Great Hour Sharing on it? Does anyone have this? Was it in your bulletin? Will somebody give these out? Somebody make sure these are handed out. And then there is an insert about One Great Hour of Sharing. The Cumberland Presbyterian Church has been involved in church world service for, how many years, I don't know. But on Palm Sunday of each year, receive an offering for tragedy disaster relief. And so we have an opportunity today, if you so desire, make a special contribution to Church World Service and the Cumberland Presbyterian Disaster Fund, and through this One Great Hour of Sharing. And let me stress, this is an invitation. It is not even a coercion. It is an invitation. If you so desire to give, this is your opportunity. Thank you so much.
I just wanted to mention that when the first baptism on the wall, we have our youth art and photo gallery, and all the cocktails, all the pictures. Those were Sunday Christians, they don't know knowledge, but those were more than just Sunday Christians, and on Wednesday, they know knowledge as well. So we dedicated to women for one night for the concert to be there when we usually expect them. So we decided to keep it for a little bit longer and take all the attention.
Nikki did.
And Nikki and Aaron, photo, he was the first service at the airport. And Nolan was at the second service.
He's
made
it
possible. Did you have something, Melanie?
No, I just made sure that.
Okay. Okay, if there are no more announcements, let's move on to the prayer list. Are they any praises or prayers concerned? Yes, Richard Woodruff. I need to add a cousin, Sarah Jo Thomason. She was on the prayer list several months ago, and her cancer has kind of reemerged. She was in remission for almost a year and a half. Andrea?
Cindy was sick all day yesterday, and they admitted her last night. She is in surgery right now and for gallbladder. So y'all pray for Cindy. Oh, well, she's Edward.
Anyone else? John. Oh, I'm getting to that. But the, yeah, I might have done it out of order, but I was getting to that.
Deborah.
Okay. Yes, Mike.
Deborah, I want to give a word of praise this morning.
And there's so many people that do so many things in this church, and for all those things you do, I thank all of you. But particularly this morning, and I've already talked to him about this, and I'm talking to you, John Rippey. Stand up, please.
Still standing.
I told John, and I just think that it needs to be said from time to time when someone does such a wonderful job. John lovingly takes these children and teaches them to light and extinguish the candles and all the things that he does so lovingly and with compassion and tenderness, and they're all like his children. He treats them like he is their father. John, I thank you from the bottom of my heart, and this church should thank you too. So let's give him a round of applause.
Okay, do we have any first-time visitors? Okay, Miss Sherry. Welcome, Sarah. Yes, ma'am. Welcome. Yes, Ruth. Welcome. Do we have anyone else? Now we will pause for a moment to prepare our minds for worship.
Oh, God, oh, greatly, O daughter of Zion.
Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem.
Lo, your king comes to you.
Triumphant and victorious is he.
Humble and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey.
Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
Into your house today, we come with many concerns and many needs, and we come, Lord, knowing that you are able to meet every need that we have. Lord, we also come admitting that we don't always know what is best, but we trust life to you, and we thank you that you are watching over us and caring for us and doing for us that which is best, even, Lord, when we don't understand. We thank you for the privilege of worship, that we can come and offer praise and thanksgiving to you and bring adoration to your name. Lord, we thank you for the children. And we thank you that we could somewhat copy after that first Palm Sunday that we read about in your holy word. And Lord, thank you that we could seek your blessings on our life as that crowd did years ago. Lord, sometimes they were confused about what you really came to do and what your plan for yourself and your son and your plan for your people was. And we come sometimes with confusion too. But Lord, we just come thanking you that we can make our request known and you bring to naught that which is not in keeping with your will, but you give your blessings on that which is with your will, knowing that your will is the perfect will. The one that we truly need to follow. Help us, O Lord, to adjust our lives to your teaching and your will, not expect you to adjust yourself to what we wish and what we want. And we offer this prayer in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. You may be seated.
Our call to confession this morning is taken from Proverbs 28:13. He who conceals his sins does not prosper, but whoever confesses and renounces them finds mercy. The prayer of confession is in unison, and please follow along if you'd like. In your mercy, mighty God, we ask that you forgive us for setting our minds on the flesh. For the sin of greed, for the sin of lust, for the sin of neglect, for the sin of anger, for the sin of addiction, for the sin of oppression, for the sin of intolerance, for the sin of high hate, Jesus, free us from our sins that we might live in the Spirit. Amen. Assurance of forgiveness. Rejoice that God hears our prayers, and our failings and faults were held against us. None could stand. But with God, there is forgiveness. And this gives us hope. Through Christ Jesus, our sins are forgiven. Our offertory sentence this morning comes from 2 Corinthians. Thanks be to God for His indescribable gift. If the ushers will please come forward.
Thank you. The cross is gleaming, fair as the sun when night has turned to day. And from it love's pure light is richly streaming to cleanse the heart and banish sin away. To this dear cross the eyes of men are turning. Today as in the ages lost to sight, and for the love of Christ men's hearts are yearning, as shipwrecked seamen yearn for morning light. The cross, O Christ, thy wondrous love revealing, awakes our hearts as with the light of morn. And pardon over our sinful spirits stealing, tells us that we in thee have been reborn. Like echoes to sweet temple bells replying, our hearts, O Lord, make answer to thy love, and we will have thee with our love undying, till we are gathered to thy throne of all.
It's children's time, Miss Andrea, and then after children's time, there will be children's church with Miss Bomar.
You know, how many of you got lots and lots of clocks in your house? And you got clocks in your cars, right? Tell you what time it is. Everybody carries a cell phone now. They know what time it is because of the cell phone. And At work, I have two cell phones, one for personal calls, one for work calls, and the other a BlackBerry. So they can find me all the time, no matter where I am, every hour of the day, okay? Every minute of the day, every second of the day. But about 6 months ago, my watch quit working, okay? And you know what I thought? I said, I've got to go get a new watch. And then I said, no, I don't. I have so many ways for people to find me and for me to stay on time that I don't need a watch. And you know what I've loved about not having a watch? I don't have it on during the church service. And that, you know what? It's made a huge difference. Because when I'm here, I don't care what time it is. I don't care if we're a little bit late getting out. I don't care if I'm a little bit late getting here. I don't mean anything by that, but I'm not stressing out about it as bad as I would be if I had the watch on my arm. So, you know what I can do when I get here? I can focus on who? That's right. While we're here, we need to focus on the Lord. We're here to worship the Lord, right? We're here to worship the Lord. And when I got to thinking about that, we have... So the only thing about time that we need to remember is we don't know when the Lord's coming back, and we don't need to worry about that either, because when the Lord comes, we'll be ready, because we know the Lord. But you may know somebody that doesn't know the Lord. And so time is of importance in that way, that you need to be sharing the message. You need to be sharing the good news with each and every person that you know. And don't be ashamed to ask. Do you love the Lord? Are you sure that if you were to go today, where are you going? Are you going to go to be with the Lord? Because if we don't ask those questions, and that person never hears or never experiences the love of the Lord, then you know what? That's the only thing that can separate them from the Lord. In Romans 8, verse 35 through 37, I believe it is, it talks about what can separate us from the love of Christ. And it tells us in there, it talks about bad times, it talks about bad weather, it talks about not having anything to eat and all that kind of stuff. No, none of that can separate us. And I'm talking about believers, us, the believers and the children of the Lord. None of that can separate us from Him, because we know that when we leave here, we're going to be with Him, because we are already conquerors in that aspect of our life. We know we are conquerors. We're victorious because who died on the cross for us? That's right. Did He stay on that cross? No. No. He was buried. Did He stay in the grave? No. He rose and He paid for our sins, and all He asks of us is what? That we know that, we believe in Him, and we take Him into our hearts. But we don't keep Him in the heart, do we? What do we do with that message? Yes, that's right. We share it each and every day. So, you might as well start leaving your watches at home when you come to church, when you come to worship, so you don't worry about that. Because you know what? We're here to worship the wonderful, wonderful Lord we have for us. That's what we need to do.
Our scripture lesson this morning is from Matthew 21, 1 through 11. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethpage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there with her colt by her. Unite them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, tell him that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away. This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet, saying to the daughter of Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle, a riding, on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt, placed their cloaks on them, and Jesus sat on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, who is this? The crowds answered, this is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Andrea, where is it I send that check? Where do I send your check?
Prayer list. If that door as you go out, dated 3:15. Prayer booklet, really,
in addition to your prayer list in your bulletin.
It seems like I talked about the Lone Ranger once from this pulpit.
And Lone Ranger would come to town, and I haven't figured out why they called him a Lone Ranger, because he always had a partner with him. Anybody know the answer to that one? But that was his name, or his title. And he'd come to town, and he'd do his good deed. And as he left, somebody would ask, who was that man? Well, Jesus came to town and caused quite a disturbance. And people were asking, who is this? Or who is that man? Find the Palm Sunday story also in Luke chapter 19, John chapter 12, and it's also in Mark chapter 11, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They all record the triumphal entry of Jesus into Jerusalem about 5 days before he was crucified. The high point in your life, when was it? What was it? It might have been the day you got married. Some would say it was the day they got divorced. It might have been the day your child was born. And some would say it's the day that child moved out and they changed the locks on their house. It might have been when you received Christ as your Savior. Think about the high point in your life, or a high point, a very high point. Do you remember? An exuberant time.
you just can't forget. Your work. A great day at work. The best day you've had at work. You maybe were honored for 20 years of service or 40 and got a gold watch. But it wasn't a Rolex. And it might have been a Rolex. When was the high point in your life? I'm believing that first Palm Sunday, when Jesus rode into Jerusalem on that donkey, was one of the high points of his life. Now there are others. The resurrection was a pretty high point. The ascension was a high point. The transfiguration was a high point. But think of coming into Jerusalem, the capital of Judea. It was a welcome that he received that was like the welcome of a newly crowned king. Other had been welcomed into the city as newly crowned kings, and palm branches were placed on the path that the animals would travel. In this case, garments were spread. I'm wondering why they did not have a blanket for the donkey. The people were not prepared for this. Jesus evidently walked. He sent the disciples into town to, he knew where the donkey was. He told them to go, and he somehow, the person who owned the animal, knew to let him go. Knew the code word, or the password, if you will. But when he got there with the donkey, they couldn't let their king sit on the bare back of a donkey. They took their clothes off, their cloaks, and placed them. There could have been a blanket for that. But there wasn't. But that may be immaterial. And then they took off their clothes and they threw them on the road, the path. And I wondered, where was the red carpet? We don't read about a red carpet being rolled out for the dignitary, but they made do with what they had. There may be a great lesson in that. You take what you've got and do the best you can with it. And they took off their cloaks and they threw them in the pathway of the animal. And they cut branches from trees. And only John says it was palm branches. The other just says branches from the trees. What Matthew says. But if we would go and visit where Jesus was, you might see some palm trees, and these would lay flat so they would not get in the way, like a hackberry tree. You know, they grow every which way, and they would tangle up the feet of the donkey. Palm trees, did they have hackberry trees in Jerusalem anyway? I hope not. Don't be offended, you hackberry lovers. I made a comment about goats once. Disparaging comment. Some wife come and told me later that I offended her husband because I talked about goats in a not so favorable way. I talked about hackberries in a not so favorable way. Forgive me if you're a hackberry lover. Okay? There were multitudes welcoming him. When I was coming to Nashville about 30 plus years ago, I wrote one of my old college buddies, and he was pastor of a church right down the street. And I said to him, "Brother Pete, I want you to call out the governor. I'll be in town Friday sometime in January." I said, "Would you call out the governor and have him there to welcome me to town?" Well, guess what? The governor didn't come out to welcome me to Nashville or to Madison. Brother Pete didn't even call him, I don't think. A week or two later, Brother Pete showed up and welcomed me. But other old college buddies were there somewhere along the way. But when Jesus came to town, a crowd, a multitude of people, a bunch of people, a heap of people, they were there to welcome him into town, into Jerusalem. Even the disciples were a little confused, or they didn't fully understand what was taking place and what was going to happen in the following days. But think of coming to town and people are sitting you on the donkey that they place their clothes on, their coats on, and sitting you there and leading you, and they're waving the palm branches and they're throwing the palm branches in the path of the donkey, and they're bowing before you and calling on you to save us, Hosanna, Hosanna, save us now. And some of them are wanting to him to save them from the Roman oppression. That might have been the greatest cry that he heard. The multitudes going before him and following after him. And as he entered the city, the people were asking, who is this? Who is this? And the multitudes were saying, this is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee. And that was not really a favorable thing to say. We read elsewhere in the Bible that the question was asked, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Galileans were not so favored in Jerusalem. This is the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee. A few chapters back, chapter 16 of Matthew, battery gets low, I start growling, it sounds like. Chapter 16, Jesus said to the disciples as he was gathered with them, what are people saying about me? Or who do people say that I am? He wanted to know. The people of Jerusalem wanted to know who this was. But Jesus had met with the disciples one day and he said, who do people say that I am? Or what are people saying about me? And they began to speak. Well, they said, some say you're John the Baptist. You know, John the Baptist had been killed. He had been chopped off, his head was placed on a platter and served before, or brought before, paraded before this evil queen. It wasn't me, was it? And some thought Jesus was John the Baptist. Alive again. Maybe it's come back to haunt the people. And the disciples said, and some say that you're Elijah. And the Bible spoke of Elijah returning. And then others, they said, some say that you're just one of the prophets. They don't say which one. And Jesus said to them, but who do you say that I am? And Peter spoke up, kind of the spokesperson. And Peter said, but you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus, in essence, said, you got it right. And he said, but you didn't just think of this, Peter. It's not that you're extremely smart. He said, this is something that God revealed to you. This is a God thing. And God has revealed to you who it is that I am. I'm sure Peter sat there and said, thank you. Thank you. This morning, who is this? Looking back,
we have an advantage over those who were in Jerusalem that first Palm Sunday when Jesus rode into Jerusalem. Because we have read the Gospels and we know the rest of the story. Not only have we read the Gospels and know the rest of the story, we have read Paul's letters, and especially Philippians and Colossians, where he talks about who Jesus is. And we know what Paul had received of the Lord concerning Jesus. And we've read the book of Hebrews, have we not? And we have had our understanding of who Jesus is deepened or increased. So we have an advantage this morning. An aside, since we're not worried about time, I've read the Bible more than once. But sometimes when I read, my mind will wander. Does that happen to you? It strays. It runs. My mind runs off on little rabbit trails, and I'll get to thinking about mowing the grass or something like this. And after Christmas, I bought a Go Bible, and it's either an MP3 or an iPod. And I don't know which one, but one of these things, it's a little box about this big, a little smaller than that. It's got the whole Bible on it. And you can go to chapter and verse. And the first week I got it, I was with the exercise, and I said, I'll listen to the Gospel of Mark. That's the shortest book of the New, not the shortest book, but the shortest Gospel. So I go and listen to it, and that morning, going to the gym and coming home, and while I was there pedaling and walking, I listened the whole Gospel of Mark. And the point is that as I listened, I heard things that I have skipped over for years. Little phrases, little words. It caught my attention. So that will, I will encourage you. It's good to listen to the Bible, even if you have read it. It was a blessing to me. And I don't remember anything in particular 3 weeks later or 4 weeks later, but it was encouraging. And I said, I've got to listen to the whole Bible. And now when I listen, even my mind wanders sometimes. But that's my problem. I'm working on it. But we have the Gospel. We have the writer of the Hebrews. We know, and these people in Jerusalem, some of them knew, but others did not know what the prophet Isaiah had said, especially what he had said about Jesus in Isaiah 52 and 53. So we have all of that compiled in one book, not in big scrolls that are hard to handle. We have it in a Bible. So some of the things that we know about Jesus, if somebody came to you and said, who is this man called Jesus? What would you say? How would you describe him? If somebody had never heard of Jesus except one time and they said, the preacher the other day was talking about Jesus. Who is it? What would you tell him? One thing I know about him, he's a miracle worker. We could say he's a miracle worker. Many of the people who were gathered in that crowd that welcomed Jesus to town on that first Palm Sunday had been present when Jesus raised Lazarus. And they had saw this great miracle. Maybe some of them had been present when he raised the widow of Nain's son and got him out of the casket, broke up a funeral. John tells us that in the 12th chapter, I believe it is, that many were present who had been there when Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. That's in the 11th chapter of John, and I think it's the 12th chapter it mentions that they were there. Some came to see Lazarus. Some came to kill Lazarus. They were not happy that Jesus had raised him from the dead. He was an example of Jesus' power. But there are other things. That was just one of many miracles. He had made withered limbs normal. He had fed large crowds of people with just a small amount of supplies. Once he took just a handful of a boy's lunch and fed 5,000 people. Another time he took a small amount of fish and bread and fed 4,000. Wow. Then they gathered up many baskets. One time 7 baskets left over after they started with so little. One time 12 baskets. Unbelievable? Yes, it's unbelievable to us in this non-miracle world that we live in. Or is it so non-miracle? He had cast demons out of people. He even told the demons where to go. Go into pigs sometime. He had enabled people who could not see to see with just a little spit and a little dust. Made a little clay and smeared it over their eyes. And once he spit in a man's eye, wow, and the man could see after the blind man. So, who is this Jesus? This morning, I remember that he was a miracle worker, did a lot of miracles, things abnormal, unnatural, if you will, the natural world, it would not happen this way. But he came and basically, could we say, defied nature? We find also this Jesus. Who was he? He was a friend of sinners. And I think of John 4 and the woman at the well, the woman of Sychar. You know, many of us have heard that story, even a song about the woman at the well and how it's fill my cup, Lord. And she was a woman so sinful and I guess ashamed of her sin that she would not go to the well, common community well, when the other people were there. She waited till the other women had gone home from the well, got their water, or she came before they got there. And it so happened that Jesus and his disciples had stopped at that same well for a drink. And he rested there while the disciples went into town to buy some food. Why didn't he make food again? Just snap his fingers or take what they had to make food. Well, you'll have to ask him when you get to heaven. Why did you have to send those disciples away into Sychar to buy food, Jesus? A good question to contemplate as you're on your way to heaven, is it not? But this woman came to draw water and he struck up a conversation. And that through that conversation, he led this woman to know the Lord, to know him as her Savior. She went to town and told a bunch of people and they came out to see Jesus. And then she was so disrespected. Later they said, we didn't believe because of her testimony, but we believe because we've met Jesus, indicating that we need a personal touch ourselves. Relationship with Jesus is not a second-hand situation. We need to meet him personally. But this woman that Jesus befriended, she's the one that took the message back to town to cause the people to come out to meet Jesus. Friend of sinners. That's just one example. Who is this? This is Emmanuel, and I confess that I borrowed this paragraph, but I thought it spoke someone else's sermon. I forgot the lady's name. It was a woman preacher. This is Emmanuel. God with us. That's what was said of him when Jesus was born, was it not? God with us in the broken places. And that woman at the well, her life was broken. God with us in the spaces filled with fear. That's who this Jesus was. God with us in the very heart of suffering. The same God that's with the Woodruff family. The same God that's with the Hildreth family this very day. This writer says the promise remains at the very end of Matthew's gospel. God with us. There on another hillside, Jesus, the Emmanuel, or God with us, turns to his disciples and says, "Lo, I am with you always." And he turns to us wherever we are today and says, "I am with you." Who is this Jesus? This is Jesus, is the one that was crucified, was buried, but rose again. We'll talk about that next week. Who is this? We mentioned earlier Peter had proclaimed that he was the Christ, the Son of the living God, and I've said it before, but let me inject it again. Christ is the Greek word for Savior. The Hebrew word is Messiah. The Jews were looking for the Messiah, or the Savior, the one who would save them. And Hosanna, they were saying, "Save us, Jesus, save us." They were seeing Him as their Savior, their Messiah. But John the Baptist had said of Him, when Jesus came to John for baptism, he pointed to Jesus and said of Him, "Behold, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world." And friends, that's mine and yours also. Who is this Jesus? The one that takes away our sin. The one that suffered, bled, and died, and rose again to new life. God raised Him to new life, to pay for and to overcome the penalty of our sin. Who is this Jesus? Who is He to you? And while the question was being asked, as Jesus rode into Jerusalem on a donkey, with a crowd welcoming Him with much jubilation, John in his gospel tells us that the Pharisees were saying about Jesus, "The whole world has gone after Him. The whole world has gone after Him." So that may be the reason for another question. That phrase, "Have you gone after Jesus? Have you gone after Jesus?" But another question I hope that you will contemplate this morning. Who is this? This one called Jesus. Is He your Savior? If you have not gone after Him, maybe today is the day that you will go after Him. You'll trust Him as your Savior. Friends, He is willing to save you if you will trust Him, if you haven't already done so. And the good part, He is able. He is able to save us. And another question. What will you do with Jesus? Let us pray. Gracious God, thank You for Jesus. That we know Him as our Savior and our Lord. And help us, Lord, not to keep that truth to ourselves, but that we'll invite others to trust Him as their Savior and make Him Lord of their life. Sam, do you have instructions?
Turn to the congregation for them to join us. The words will be on the screen. Thank you.
striving sea.
Look up, and Brother Bennett's going to offer the benediction.